Go out and talk to people. Even if you don't know their background, just talk. Try to know them, understand them. Try to look for the people who are from your industry.
Right.
If they are interested in you and they are the right match for you, definitely they will connect you to multiple such more people across the industry.
Welcome to the Zista podcast, where we invite industry leaders and academicians to answer questions that students have within a particular subject area. Today, we're focusing on entrepreneurship and more specifically, green tech entrepreneurs. Joining us is Monica Tiwari. Let's go straight into the session. Welcome, Monica. I'm so delighted that you're joining us on the Zista podcast.
Thank you so much, Amit. It's my pleasure and looking forward to the wonderful session having with you.
Fantastic. I wanted to kind of ask you a whole set of questions in terms of what you've been doing with Khetal Green Tech. And I think perhaps one of the most fundamental questions that I wanted to ask you is that what really inspired you to focus on green technologies? How did you identify the gap that your company addresses?
So my journey has not started in a year or 2 years back. It has started like a decade ago, basically, I'll say. So I started my career from IIT Bombay, where I did my BTech and MTech in Energy Sciences and Engineering with Masters in Energy Systems. So that itself is around, that course itself is curated around renewable energy. So that's the first step where, you know, I was driven towards renewable energy, green energy. During my exposure in IIT, I have been came across wonderful internships, be it Washington University in St. Louis, where I was doing on research on lithium-ion batteries, or small projects with, you know, professors in IIT Bombay. Also, I have been part of Jagriti Yatra, where I have chosen the vertical as, again, green energy, sustainable energy. Then the major turning point came where I chose for my master's project, a topic which is very close to my heart, and that has resulted in Khetal. So that topic was dehydration for farmers. And I collaborated with an NGO, small NGO who was working with small farmers in and around Maharashtra. And we have made a cost-effective solar dehydrator for them. And I was really happy when I, you know, made a very small, compact dehydrator just for $5,000 and handed over to them, and they really liked the product. So that was the ignition point of my life. After that, I worked in few startups. They were also curated around. They were also around working around renewable energy space. And 2020, post-COVID, basically, I started attending multiple exhibitions, agri exhibitions. And I started talking to multiple FPOs, different stakeholders in, you know, agri-tech space. And I came across ki there are solutions for, you know, post-harvest losses. But none of them are, you know, satisfactory. Farmers are still looking for a very effective solution catering to their specific needs. And that's how we have started off in 2022. And now, you know, we are... I'll say that we have our set of a few set of customers and we are successfully delivering them their requirements.
Fantastic. You know, for the sake of students who will be tuning into this podcast, can I request you to go a little deeper and talk a little bit more about the product that you have? So what exactly is a dehydrator? What role does it play?
Yes. So I would take it very, you know, in a crisp and simple terms. In your homes, you have seen your parents, grandparents dehydrating or drying, sun drying. Amla mango, right?
Right.
Chili. Why is it done? Amit, I'm asking.
Preserve it. To preserve that.
To increase the shelf life and retain the nutrients. And exactly this age-old traditional practice with a modern twist is what we are trying to do in our system. So our system is a closed system where you would be dehydrating fruits and vegetables to increase their shelf life and retain the nutrients with end output as processed fruits and vegetables. Additionally, we are also capturing the moisture that any fruit or vegetable contains and thereby giving aromatic flavored water. So we are giving two products. as an end output. We are not wasting anything. And I think if it is clear to you, or you would like me to dig into it deeper.
No, just a little deeper, if you don't mind. Yeah. So let's say I'm a farmer, and let's say I have harvested a produce, right? And now there will be some post-harvest loss. But now, thanks to the solution that I have from Khetar GreenTech, I'm able to dehydrate a portion of my produce.
Right.
And therefore, I'm not losing that in the. So that is that how it works for the farmers?
Yes. And also, once it is dehydrated, it would be used in different industry, be it, Dabur, ITC. There are like gamut of industries where it can be used. So we are also helping them. So there are FPOs, there are farmers whose market access is sorted. They know where to sell. But there are multiple farmers who don't know where to sell and what to do with it. So we are creating that linkage also with the market, so that they have a proper setup and proper channel where they can, sell out their finished products and, increase their sources of revenue.
That is so nice to hear. So you've not just stopped at, let me give a solution so that you're, reducing post-harvest loss. You've gone one step further and you're actually helping those farmers connect with people who would want to buy that produce, right?
Okay.
So that's amazing.
Right.
And also what occurred to me is that by, letting farmers do this, you're unlocking new revenue opportunities for them, which they may have not thought of, right? It would, their ordinary thinking is that let me harvest this. However, my harvest is perishable, so some loss is inevitable. But thanks to the solution that you have, that perishable item is not going waste. It is actually getting saved for another day.
Right. I think you have got the gist very well. You have explained what I wanted to do in a much better way.
Thank you for that. You've been very kind. All right. I wanted to ask you, Monica.
Yeah.
How did you, what trends in sustainable technology? Okay, let me start that again. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you one more question, Monica.
Yeah.
In terms of trends that you're seeing in sustainable technology, mm-hmm. are there specific trends that students and entrepreneurs should be watching out for?
So if I ask you, Amit, what problems, if you choose wide verticals, what problem do you see in our society? It is either air, water, carbon emission, climate change, and food, right?
Right.
So this is all what sustainability is. What we breathe, what we eat is all sustainability.
Right.
There should be, there is a high need where people should identify the real actual problem.
Correct.
Basis that problem, they should come up with a solution. It should not be like we have a solution, we come up with the idea, we have a solution. Now let's go and try to find out the problem.
Right.
So problem should come first, then the solution, and then comes the market validation. Or I'll say market validation and solution goes hand in hand.
Absolutely. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So, talking about market validation, how did you go about ensuring that your idea was not only innovative, but also scalable? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yes. So innovation, I think I don't need to answer because I come from IIT Bombay. I did the entire research around professors, researchers, academicians. I have also published a research paper. So I think that itself is a validation that it's innovative enough because it was accepted by the society. Now coming to the validation part, definitely how should we validate it? We should reach out to maximum number of stakeholders.
Okay.
Where will you find your stakeholders? You will find your stakeholders and industry experts who are into, food industry, agri-tech industry, your mentors from the same field. You should visit to agri exhibitions. You should go and talk to your actual customers who are, farmers, FPOs. And, it's about talking to every third person who you think is relevant enough to you. I mean, by relevance, he cannot be completely relevant, but even if you find a slight relevance, you should go and talk to him. And I think that's enough.
Okay. Again, for the benefit of students, would you mind touching upon some of the key stakeholders in that supply chain, in the agricultural supply chain? So, of course, you have the farmers, but could you also detail out the other stakeholders who are currently involved?
Yes. Government.
right?
By government, because they are, you know, giving you grants. They are helping you to make it big. Second, your incubators.
Okay.
Incubators, why? Because, you know, they are making you aware about the system, whatever is happening in the industry. They are also giving you the connects, mentors, and the, you know, lectures or whatever is essential in terms of theoretical knowledge. They are providing the access for that. Third is the government agri agencies, where you go and, you know, tell them that, yes, I have a certain kind of a product, and let us know if, you know, your farmers or FPOs, because you are the ones who are like literally connected to them well. So get back to us. Then I would say, that's it. Apart from farmers, yeah, food processing companies also are very important, because, you know, the companies like ITC, Dabur, Amla, they are the ones who are eventually going to, you know, buy out your dehydrated product. And unless farmers don't have a, you know, streamline where they can sell out, a channel where they can sell out their finished product, they have no advantage to buy or to invest in us. So,
okay.
I think, yeah, that's it.
All right. Thank you for helping us out with that.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you, in terms of how do you measure success, right? What are some of the metrics that you're tracking with respect to your business?
There is not one matrix.
Right.
There are multiple matrices which go in hand to hand. So right. It should be environment. It should be social impact. It should be financial. If I talk about environment, I'll talk about my business particularly, environment. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are reducing the post-harvest losses. We are trying to create a responsible consumption and production, thereby solving sustainable development goals. We are creating an avenue for farmers, for society, and thereby trying to reduce the inequality. And
right.
In terms of financial goal, it should not just be us. It should be our customers also. So they are also making the money. We are also making the money. So I think all these factors go hand in hand, and that's how I measure the success.
Right. Not in absolute terms, but in relative terms, help me understand this. So suppose I'm a farmer and I was producing something, and say I was making 100 rupees, okay, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. And now I have implemented Khetal Green Tech solution.
Right.
So now my post-harvest loss has come down. There's a new channel that is unlocked for me. I'm getting more revenue. So as opposed to 100, how much am I making now? Am I making 120? Am I making 115?
You would be definitely making like around 160, I'll say.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So from a farmer's perspective, their revenue earning potential has increased tremendously.
Exactly. True.
Okay.
I would like to add an example. So for rose, the market rose price in the market is around 80 rupees a kg.
Right.
If you dehydrate it and, you know, so if you dehydrate it, then the net weight will come down to around 25%, which is around 250 grams. So basically, 1 kg of dehydrated rose, in terms of raw weight, it costs you around 360 rupees a kg, because, you know, 4 kgs of raw rose is equals to 1 kg of dehydrated rose. And that's how I come up to the number of 360 rupees per kg.
Okay.
And what value you get in the market is very good to know. It is around 900 rupees or 1000 rupees per kg of dehydrated rose. That is what you get in the market if you sell out.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. So in that sense, the dehydrated product is actually getting a much higher return, right?
And also, additionally, no one else is doing. We, as I already told you, we are also capturing the, you know, aromatic water. And if you're dehydrating rose, what is the aromatic water? Rose water. And it's widely used in the beauty industry. It's widely used in, you know, multiple channels. So that is also, and right now we are not even considering that thing. We are taking it as a waste, but we are working on how to commercialize it. For rose, definitely we have, you know, channels and partners who are interested to buy rose water.
Absolutely.
But for Amla water and other flavored water, we are, you know, trying to, you know, do R&D, how it can be used. And once that will come in picture, then the entire game will be, you know, spiked up like by, I will say, 20 times in terms of...
Amazing. Numbers. Amazing. So you are anticipating that as you move forward, your business may diversify and also have allied revenue streams that may emerge. So in this
I would say it's not diversification, but it's like going deeper into what all byproducts we are getting. We are not counting everything right now. But going forward, we will count both in terms of revenue generation for farmers as well as us.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And I think in that way, you're not only doing something which is good for the environment, you're making a meaningful impact on that life of that farmer. And I think that's so heartening to hear, you know, Monica. So very nice.
That's what I have been trying to do, you know. Creating the social impact has been my passion. And that's what I have always chosen from my college. And hopefully I would be able to create a mass impact in terms of, you know, creating more livelihood options for the farmers and creating an equitable society for them.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to ask you, you know, about partnerships. So partnerships are really critical, you know, when you're building a startup. So how did you start networking and collaborating with the stakeholders that we just spoke about? You know, how did you identify them firstly and how did you collaborate with them?
Okay. So your first raw thing starts with agri exhibitions.
Okay.
There you go out and talk to people. Even if you don't know their background, just talk. Try to know them, understand them. Eventually, after few networking events, you will come across the meaningful people.
Mm.
There are events happening in and around like Thai. Then mixer events. Go out. Try to look for the people who are from your industry.
Right.
If they are interested in you and they are the right match for you, definitely they will connect you to multiple such more people across the industry. So that is first step. Second, as I already have mentioned about incubators, they also play a major role in, you know, connecting you to industry experts, providing the mentors. Because in the initial days, you know, when you don't have anything, no one wants to, you know, invest on you in terms of mentoring and all. In my case, my IIT tag has really helped me because, you know,
right.
That has really shown the initial interest when I approached any mentor. So that was the thing. Thirdly, I have been part of ISB IBI program.
Right.
ISB has amazing network of industry experts, of, you know, the group of FPOs. So for me, validating with FPO network is very important. And that's what they have provided me. And, you know, you have to be aware enough in terms of whom you are reaching out and what you want from that particular person. LinkedIn also, I'm very active. I keep on, you know, spending like 1.5 hour to 2 hour daily on LinkedIn, you know, just to try and reach out to people who are, you know, from my industry or who can help me possibly. And yes, that's how networking. So networking is not something you have to, you know, put extra efforts. It's, you know, you should imbibe that in yourself.
It's part and parcel of your, you know, day-to-day
life. Yeah.
And it's so interesting that the emphasis, you're doing it on a daily basis, you know, Monica. I'm sure not everyone is similar in that regard. So some people may chalk out dedicated time within a week. But in your case, you're doing it on a daily basis. And that is having, a positive rub-off effect in terms of the impact on your business, the kind of partnerships you can do. But more importantly, the kind of conversations you can have, right? So networking, not all networking results in business, right? Some networking results in a conversation. And that itself enriches you.
Know-how.
Yes.
One of my mentors actually has told me that. So I am like not a very extrovert person. But okay. One of my mentors from IDC has been really, you know, experienced, very nice person. He told me, Monica, it's very important. You should speak to at least 2 people on a daily basis. Try to understand your business from their perspective. Throw questions on them. Make your questions and throw questions on them. Get their answer. It is not always that they are going to be relevant to you, but you will learn a new thing daily. And that's philosophy I have been following.
How nice. How nice to hear that. Okay. Now, let's say I'm a student and I may want to develop something, okay, but I have limited resources.
Right.
So what's the first step that I can take? You know, how do I go about validating my idea? How do I go about, let's say, building a minimum viable product or a solution?
Okay. So, Amit, I would like to emphasize, in our country,
right,
these days, startup system and ecosystem is very beautiful.
Right.
If you have something in your head, they will try to help you out. Be it, you know, your college, be it your incubator, be it your government via grants. So for the college students specifically, if you're talking about, they should start approaching their college R&D team. Because I think right now, there are incubators every here and there. And, you know, small cities also, they have one incubation center in their city locally. So they should go approach them, talk about their product. And for minimum, I mean, for getting the government grants, a company registration is must. But if you're not willing to make a company out of it, I think you should approach your college and they are the best person, you know, to help you to build out the MVP by connecting you to the relevant professors, relevant team. And if the product is actually the need of the hour, then the professors are also going to invest in on it. So yeah, that's it for, I think, college students, if you're talking about, and if you are talking about the people who are willing to start off, I mean, entrepreneurs, for right. them, company registration is very important. First of all, if you have a company registered and there is actual problem and solution for that actual problem, I mean, so you can approach government grants, and there are government grants like Nidhi Prayas. They are really helpful for the people who don't have MVP and provide grants up to 10 lakhs.
Okay.
In fact, the Startup India Seed Fund, it is also phenomenal. And that is up to 50 lakhs. That is also really helpful for, you know, your initial R&D, taking out your MVP, doing your beta testing, going to the market, doing market validation. So government is helping. And for the crucial sectors, like we talk about in terms of, you know, green tech or sustainability, everyone is very cautious these days. And they definitely support you. Yeah, so I think that's it for the initial phase from my end.
So nice. And there's one thing which is really important, you know, is rather than just having an idea or a solution, if you can clearly articulate that, listen, I have done some research and I have come across that this is a real problem in the market. And to address this problem, I have a solution. So starting with the problem rather than an offbeat idea that may have in your head, I think that is a critical way to approach it, right?
Definitely.
And I think that's kind of come out in this conversation.
That is also I learned from a professor in one of my classes. He's like, aapke paas kitna achha solution hai, not going to work out. Until and unless there is actually a problem for it. Problem nahi hai, koi solution nahi lega. Even if you are, you know, giving it, you know, very economic, making it very economic.
Exactly.
Not required. So problem, first identify the problem. And the problem should be massive enough to go ahead with.
Fair enough. Okay. The next question I wanted to ask you is, how do students go about, and I think to some extent you've already answered this, you know, in terms of securing grants or getting investors to back them. So we talked about the Startup Seed Fund, we talked about Nidhi Prayas, and I'm sure that the government is systematically putting in place certain processes and funds in different sectors, right? I think they've identified some sectors of growth. So it's amazing. From your perspective,
Go ahead. Even I would like to say I have not focused enough on, I think, female entrepreneurs, but even for female entrepreneurs, government is doing really great. They are creating every week or in a month, they put out a new program that is focusing on female entrepreneurs. There are accelerator programs like Samriddhi, which is, you know, granting them up to 40 lakhs for something they're trying to do in some particular sectors.
Right.
So the entire ecosystem is, you know, really helpful and conducive for whosoever is looking to solve the real problem.
Okay. We've talked about some of the enablers, right? And it's really good that the ecosystem is there to support you. And there are ways and means for you to reach out and get that funding, get that support, get that mentorship.
Right.
But what are some of the not so good things that are there right now? Would you like to comment on that? Maybe things you wish were a little different, but maybe can change or should change in the future.
So first thing I'll say is, if I am I'm selling something.
Right.
Getting your first customer is very different.
Right.
Why they will believe you when you are selling, you know, a machine hardware tech, massive right. hardware tech for, you know, 25, 30 lakhs.
Why just give some perspective. How big is this machine? You know,
it is around 300 to 400 square feet, which is, okay. I'll say, the existing system. There are existing systems not effective enough, not solving the real problem, but there are dehydrators. But, right. you know, the area requirement is around 1,400 to 2,000 square feet.
Wow.
And compared to them, we are just, you know, acquiring around 300 to 400 square feet. So that is also one of our USPs, which I would like to mention.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So you were saying getting that first customer, you were talking about that. That is the challenge.
Challenge is that then who do not have pedigree, who do not come from, you know, very good college or, you know, who do not have brand, then approaching to mentors, validating that what actually they are true is solving the real problem, convincing to the stakeholders in the market is also very difficult. Third, I would say finding the right team is also very challenging and important. Your co-founders, so basically investors or the people or the, you know, enablers in the market are obviously looking at the problem statement, but they are also looking at your team.
Right.
Are you complementing each other's skill sets? Are you good enough to solve this problem? And that is also very important, I think, and very crucial, plus difficult to find the right teammates. So I think, yeah, these are the initial set of challenges which I had, and I'm working on them, still working on them.
Awesome. Nice to hear that. And thank you so much for sharing that, right? Now, it's really important to be resilient. You know, you are going to come across challenges when you're starting something, when you're trying to sustain it and even further develop it as a full-fledged business. So I'd love to hear from you on maybe what are some of those attitudes or mindsets that students should develop so that they can actually succeed with as an entrepreneur, you know. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So ups and downs are part and parcel, okay? A small win gives you a lot of happiness and drive to move forward. But then there are days when you have your downfalls. You are not able to make certain things. Sleep over it. Start afresh. Again, keep going. Keep moving. Because you have a goal to reach.
Right.
And I think that's what is important. You should have a real problem. You should have a solution. And you should have a belief in what you are trying to solve is real and impactful. And I think that's it. That's what it is required to run a business or solve a real problem.
And rest of the stuff you can figure out on the way.
I know. I mean, as I already told that, you know, there are times when I have my lows. There are times when I have highs. Small wins give me, you know, more thrive, more push to move faster. But then there are days when I don't feel like working or, you know, taking a day off, doing nothing. But I think, yeah, that's imbibe all those things in yourself because that's your life. That's your food and water, basically.
Right.
It's part and parcel of your life. So, yeah, keep running.
Okay.
Monica, I've really enjoyed this conversation with you. I wanted to say thank you for making time and joining us on the podcast, talking to us about what you've been doing at Khetal Green Tech and really sharing some good advice and knowledge with students. So thank you for that.
I hope I have been, you know, I have been knowledgeable enough or I have been, you know, on point to answering your questions. And I hope the students will get their answers out of what they are looking for to start any green venture. And yes, good luck to all the students who are willing to start something of their own. And you will find your way eventually in your due course. That's it.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Amit. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
I really enjoyed with Monica and I hope you got some fantastic insights from her. If you like what we're doing, follow us on YouTube, leave us a comment and let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. You can also catch us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Our handle is the Zista Podcast. This episode has been produced by the fantastic team at Zista, which includes Russell Aldridge, Udita Arana and Gaurav Patil. This is your host Amit Ahuja signing out. Till we meet again. Stay curious.